Welcome to church. This is Shoreward Assembly, an exciting congregation of God's people, under the pastoral care of Dr. Dennis Ian and his amiable wife, Pastor IT. Our mission is to raise champions who are passionate for God, winning in life and changing the world. Our vision is to be a growing community of worshipers and ministers from every tribe and tongue, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Shoreward Assembly is a Bible teaching ministry operating at different locations. If you need a church that will equip you to grow in the faith, empower you to succeed in life, and give you a platform to serve the Lord, welcome to Shoreward Assembly. To learn more about us, visit shorewardassembly.org. Remember, with God, all things are possible, so expect a miracle today. And when you're coming for the next service, bring a friend along. Shoreward, raising champions.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18 and 19. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. Not in some things, not in few things, but in everything. Can somebody say everything? Give thanks in everything. Whether it is good, whether it is bad, give thanks in everything. One day, this scripture hit me differently. And but in everything. We may not be able to thank God for everything, but we can thank God in everything. We may not be able to thank God for everything, but in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what we face, in the good times and in the bad times, we can give God thanks. Hallelujah. Why should we give God thanks? Because it is the will of God. Whether I like it or not, I should thank him because it is the will of God. Every Christian should delight to do the will of God. People spend time to pray for God's will in their lives. I want to pray for God to reveal his will to me concerning marriage. God, show me your will of who to marry. Show me your will of the work to do. Show me your will concerning where I should live. Show me the work concerning my travel. Beloved, you don't need to spend time praying and fasting to know that thanksgiving is the will of God. It is given expressly in Scripture. If you are not thankful, you are not in the will of God. If you want to be in the will of God, in every situation, no matter the circumstance, you must be thankful. That is the will of God concerning you. What Satan desires is for you to be complaining, grumbling, murmuring. That is what Satan desires. Complain and murmur whenever you become depressed and whenever you begin to say God has not been good, God has not been fair, life has not been kind. Satan does a party because you're directly in his will. Come on, is somebody with me? Don't make Satan happy by your complaining attitude. Don't make Satan excited by refusing to be thankful for the things that God has done and in every situation you find yourself. Beloved, thanksgiving is the will of God concerning you. And don't forget where I started. I said that thanksgiving in the bad times is a sign of spiritual maturity. The spiritually immature will thank God in the good times and in the bad times. But when you rise above that tendency, it means you have grown in your faith. You have grown in your walk with God. Can somebody say, I hear that? I love the next verse. Verse 19 says, do not quench the spirit. Why? Every time you complain, you quench the spirit. Every time you grumble, you quench the spirit. Every time you murmur, you quench the spirit. How do I know? Because the Bible says, when Israel began to complain and to murmur in the wilderness, God was angry with them. God was provoked. They began to question God. Yes, he gave us food in the wilderness. He brought water. But can he provide? Or he gave us food. Can he provide food for us in the wilderness? Can he feed us? And the Bible says God was enraged. Because they questioned God. They allowed what they were going through to get in the way. They began to doubt God. They began to murmur. They began to grumble. Beloved, quench not the spirit. Remain thankful. Remain grateful. And God will take the glory. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. A broken spirit dries the bone, will make you sick. But a merry heart is like you are swallowing medicine. Beloved, listen to this. Your health is tied to the state of your heart. Your health is tied to your attitude to life. If you are a thankful person, learning to celebrate everything, celebrating in the good and in the bad times, finding reasons to be excited about life and about God, you will remain healthy. Every time you dance, you praise, you sing, it cleanses your system. It brings healing to your body and makes you healthy. So praise is like medicine. Dancing is like medicine. Singing is like medicine. And everyone that desires to be healthy must take it daily. Glory to Jesus. Not only in church, but all through your life, wherever you go. Because a merry heart does good like medicine. I don't like people that are I don't like people that, how do I describe them? Carry a long face, always depressed, never happy. You can't find a smile on their face. Those kind of people confuse me. I don't know what is wrong. Sometimes if you're around me, I will ask, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? I'll keep asking you, are you okay? Even if I meet the tender. Because the way you look, I don't think you're okay. Never smile. Nobody finds you playing. You're always like the world has come to an end. I have good news for you. The world has not come to an end. A merry heart does good like medicine. People that are praiseful, people that are thankful will be healthier. If you want to be healthy, live a life that overcomes sickness and disease. Learn to be thankful. Learn to be joyful. Learn to be praiseful. Learn to be merry. Don't keep depression a place in your life. Oh, glory to Jesus. Is somebody still here? If you're going to do that, let me give you a couple of keys. Number one, remember where God brought you from. Sometimes, maybe because you have arrived, or you falsely think you have arrived, you forget where God took you from. He brought it from the back side of town. Do you remember how you came to this town? Do you remember how you grew up? Remember how your life has been? God has favored you. God has had mercy on you. God has blessed you. And you want to forget how it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, sometimes even 5 years ago. We find you in Lagos. Touched up. Dressed up. Properly decked. Looking powerful. Driving a good car. Don't forget where you're coming from. Are you with me? If you're a village boy like me, you remember how your village is. It's not like here. Don't forget where you're coming from. Don't forget how your father's house is. That God has singled you out. God has helped you thus far. Don't forget where you're coming from. You know how your childhood was. You know how God raised you from the dust. You know, God, how lifted you from shame and from nothingness. Don't forget where you're coming from. They were bringing back the ark and David was dancing and somersaulting. He was not dancing the kind of dance we dance in church. If it was that kind of dance, the wife wouldn't have a problem. If you dance a respectable dance, some of us even with our hands in our pocket, and then we are dancing. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance. Do you know how David danced? Till the wife looked and said, "Is that not the king? Wearing a royal effort? How is he dancing like a commoner?" Because the man lost every sense of respect for himself and for his title. He forgot that he was a king because he was dancing before the King of Kings. When I thought of how David danced, the only dancer that came to my mind was a Tilogu dancer. Do you remember Tilogu? You remember how they used to dance? They climb up and they somersault. They would somersault. And listen, if they were somersaulting, if David was somersaulting, remember, he was wearing something like a wrapper, you know, kind of suit. That is why the wife said you were being exposed. He was not wearing trousers. He didn't remember that he was not dressed well. So it was, the wife said, "You see, you are exposing yourself before those small girls." And the wife said, "Madam, mind yourself. Even if you think I have disgraced myself, I've not started. You see that respect, I'm not interested. I will disgrace myself more." That dancing that you saw today was part one. Wait for part two. I'm going to dance even more. Because I'm dancing not before you. I'm dancing not before men. But I'm dancing before the God that left your father's house and picked a commoner like me. I think our gratitude is not enough because we have forgotten where we are coming from. When you know where you're coming from, you will dance to the depth of your gratitude. Know where God picked you from. Know how God you. Know how God has blessed you. Can somebody shout hallelujah? So don't forget where you're coming from. You see, as a church, when I remember how God has brought us from that brothel of six people, by the second day, we dropped to five. And then the third day, we were 13. And we started growing. Since that third day, which was a Sunday, the first Sunday, we have not gone below 13. We kept growing. We kept growing. But I can't forget how God brought us here. When we came here, it was altogether water. Some of you that are sitting here, you don't have an idea. Animals used to live here. Reptiles used to fly everywhere here. All the water in this environment found their reservoir in this land. But here we are seated here beautifully in God's presence. We can't forget where God has brought us from. If you're clapping, please clap well. Number two, don't take God's blessing for granted, no matter how small. If you cannot thank God for little things, you can't thank him for big things. A man who is ungrateful, no matter what you do for him, he will not remember it. People that are usually taking things for granted, not bothering about saying thank you when you do for them, anything, listen, even if a man does anything for them, they don't remember to thank him. So when God also does anything for them, they will take it for granted. An entitlement mentality will make you not to think much of anything that is done for you. You know, some people don't even remember to say thank you because somehow, well, you've done it for me. So what's the big deal? You're my brother. So what's the big deal? You're my husband. So what's the big deal? You're my wife. What's the big deal? My wife will tell you that even if I come to your house and you give me food to eat, when I finish saying thank you to you, I will turn and say thank you to my wife. And she will laugh and say, why are you thanking me? I said to her, they are giving me the food on your behalf. Everybody that feeds me is doing so on your behalf. So thank you, madam. Glory to God. Let Thanksgiving be a culture. Let it be an attitude. Learn to celebrate little things that the people that do them will be shocked. Is it that little thing that you're dancing like this and say, yes, sir, because it is better? You know, when my wife went to the government office and then trust her, they said to her, the governor has ordered for you to be given a car. And she went to the SSG's office and was dancing and said, thank God, I didn't see it coming. And somebody called her and said, madam, you have not even seen the car. What if it is one small tuk-tuk car? And you know what my wife said? My wife said, even if it is a bicycle, my dance steps will not change. Even if it is a bicycle, I didn't buy it. It's a gift. So I will thank God. I will celebrate God. I will be excited. Even if it were to be a bicycle, I can't take it for granted. Is somebody hear what I'm saying? Don't take anything anybody does for you for granted. Don't take anything that God does for you for granted. If you can't thank God for small things, you will not be able to thank him for big things. Come on. Do you remember that scripture? 10 lepers were cured, were healed. And then, how many of them returned to thank God? One. What is the percentage? Only 10%. I mean, it's so sad. I don't want to believe that only 10% of the people are thankful. I want to believe that things have changed from that time till now. But why didn't the 9 return? Because they were Jews. They had an entitlement mentality. They think it was not a big deal. But that one that returned was a Samaritan who thought he was unworthy, who thought Jesus shouldn't even associate with me. He couldn't even look in my direction. That is why, listen to this. Every time you get anything from God, even if you're healed of headache, even if God blesses you with 10 naira, it is not a function of what you have done. It is because of what Jesus has done. Oh, come on, I don't think you heard me. There is nothing you have received that is because of you. It is not because of your fasting. It is not because of your service. It is not because of your knowledge of scripture. It is because of what Christ has done. If we say receive by faith, what does it mean? It simply means that you need to exercise and have faith in what God has done for you through Christ Jesus. So ultimately, it is what Christ has done that will make you to be thankful. You see, if you understand how the kingdom works, the principle of the kingdom, and remember, we are all in the kingdom of God. We are members of God's kingdom. Are you with me? In the kingdom, any kingdom, everything belongs to the king. And whatever the citizen receives, he receives by the pleasure of the king. That is why when you receive a job, you thank God. When you receive your salary, you thank the king. When you prepare your food and eat, you thank him before you eat. Why? Because your life is at the mercy of the king. Everything about you is at the pleasure of the king. Our God is our king, and we are citizens of that kingdom. Don't take anything for granted. Can somebody say, I hear that? Learn to thank God. Learn to celebrate him, no matter how small the blessing is. Number three, don't compare yourself with others. I think everything is okay until we begin to compare. You begin to think that God has not blessed you enough. God has lifted that one. God has answered his prayer. God has not answered your prayer. Oh, with my friends, I am not married. That other one is married. I don't have a baby. That other one has a baby. My job is smaller than the other one. My car is not as big as his car. Beloved, it is not about the other people. You are alone in your class. You don't know them. You don't know where they are coming from. You don't know what God has in mind for you. You don't know what God has in mind for them. So please stay on your lane. Can you help me tell your neighbor, stay on your lane? Hallelujah. Don't compare yourself with anybody. That will not help your thanksgiving. That will not help your attitude. I want you to know that you're alone in your class and God is blessing you for you. Stop taking a look at the people around you. Stop comparing yourself with the people around you. Stop comparing yourself with members of your family, with your classmates, with your friends, with your neighbors. The Bible says they that compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. As a pastor, I don't do self-comparison. I don't compare myself with anybody. God has called me. God has engraced me. And that is all that matters. That is why I don't compete with anybody. I do what God has called me to do, and I'm completely satisfied with it. Do what God has called you to do. Receive the blessing that God has for you. And don't compare yourself with anybody around you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying now? Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 4 says, again, I saw that for all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. So when we compare ourselves with other people, we envy them. We envy them. We begin to think, oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could be like that man. I wish I could be like that woman. No! That is not okay. Still stop comparing yourself with other people. I pray that God will help us. Because the Bible says this also is vanity and is grasping the wind. That is to say you will achieve nothing. You change nothing by comparing yourself with others. It will only give you depression. It will only give you high blood pressure. It will not give you anything more than that. So stop comparing yourself. Can somebody say hallelujah? Number four, learn to count your blessings. Sometimes you think God has not blessed you until you learn to take stock. Sometimes, either at the end of this month, the beginning of next month, we always talk about stock taking. You may think that God has not done much for you or has not done anything for you until you sit down to take stock of what God has done. I want to challenge you. Whenever you feel depressed, you feel empty, you feel life is unfair, God has not blessed you, can you please take a plain sheet of paper and take a pen, sit over it, and begin to count what God has done for you? I can tell you, I can guarantee that you feel both the front and the back, and you will not have finished that exercise. Don't skip anything. Begin by thanking God that you are alive, that you slept and you woke up. You have no idea the battles that go against you when you are sleeping, and God fights for you and God defends you. He becomes your shield and you can triumph. Some of the times we wake up, we are sweating. We don't even know what has taken place. God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He fights your battles for you. And that is why you are alive today. Do you know how many people have walked, pointed their finger at you and said, this one will not survive. I'm going to deal with you. But God has not allowed them to prevail against you. The Bible says that the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. God has been your defense. God has fought for you. And that is why you're still here. Can somebody say hallelujah? Look at you're still in good health. You're not on oxygen. Sometimes we don't even know that what starts like a headache, if not for God, we wouldn't be alive. People have died and they say, how did they die? They said he just had stomach upset. Stomach upset by 7 in the night, by 10 he was dead. But how many times have you had stomach upset and you're still here? What do? You drink water and somehow you go to the toilet and you're fine. Do you know what God had done for you? You take a bottle of Sprite and then you're fine. Do you know what God did for you? You have no idea. That pain, you held it for a few minutes and it disappeared. You don't know what God had done. He intervened in your system and set you free from the attack of the evil one. Beloved, we can't count the blessings of God enough. Come on, is somebody with me? That is why the songwriter says, count your blessing. Name them one by one. It will surprise you. It will amaze you what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Satan will tell you, hey, what has God done, sir? You're not married. You're 45. But you're still alive. Which one is better? Which one is easier? You have not had a baby, but you're not on oxygen. Satan wants you to be depressed, to throw a pity party, and you cooperate with him? No! He makes all things beautiful in his time. So hold on for God. The God that visited me, that same God will visit you. But don't complain, don't grumble, don't murmur, because God is not done with you yet. Beloved, count your blessing. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. The psalmist in Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5, says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who forgives all your sins? I don't know anyone that has not offended God, has not done any wrong. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet, God has provided redemption for them freely through Christ Jesus. It is because of Christ Jesus that we have been set free from our sins and have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's thank God for that. Bible says that no man can please God by his own righteousness. Paul said, I don't have any righteousness which is of my own by keeping the law. I have the righteousness which is through Christ Jesus. I put it on and I stand justified before God. Because every attempt by me to please God is like filthy rags before him. It brings condemnation. The law was a snare and it is Jesus that broke that snare. We need to thank God that we are set free from sin. We are justified before God. And do you know what? The blood of Jesus did not only wash our sins when we gave our life to Jesus. That same blood speaks for us every day. He speaks for us every day. He spoke for us yesterday. He speaks for us today. He will speak for us tomorrow. We need to be thankful for that. Who forgives all our iniquities? Who heals all our diseases? Who redeems you? Your life from destruction. God heals us, redeems our life from destruction. We need to recognize that. Who crowns with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Can somebody say hallelujah? Do you know, I don't know whether you have noticed it, but I have. When I meet people who are not born again, I find that they age faster. Can somebody agree with me? I don't know about you. But I find that people that are not born again age faster than people that are born again. Take a look at them. Why? It is because in Christ Jesus, He renews our youth like the eagles, satisfies our mouth with good things. It is not the powder that renews you. It is not the makeover that makes you younger and more beautiful. It is the goodness of our God. Hey, I don't know whether somebody heard me. When you stand in front of the mirror and you admire your looks and find that, beloved, when you go back to the village and found those your friends that you grew up with, they look different. You will just give God praise. Because He fills your mouth with good things and renews your youth like the eagles. A few weeks ago, I was in my local government. I went to this place and I sat down. A young man came to greet me. He was a guy I taught when I was 17. I used to be a secondary school teacher. I used to teach English literature and fine arts. That was before I got into university. He used to be a troublesome boy, so I used to flog him. These days, teachers don't flog much, but those days, you remember now, 1980, I used to flog very well. I took that one after my father. My father used to call him Atasa, the real sir. So if you wanted someone flogged, you will hire him to come and flog your son for you. So the boy came and greeted me. And he said to me, sir, I'm surprised though. When they told me you were here and I came to greet you, I thought I was coming to meet a very big man. But you have not changed much. You're still the way you were. And we laughed. Then he said to me, that makes me know today that time you used to flog me, I was older than you. I was senior, but you were flogging me. So I laughed and we left. A week after, I went back and we're talking. He came to greet me and said I should give him something. So I asked him, how old are you? His hair is all white. You understand? And he looks like a village chief. Hair all white and looks like a village chief. Troublesome boy still. So I asked him, how old are you? He said to me, I am 54. So I said to him, you know, I'm almost 10 years your junior. I mean, your senior, sorry. I said, I'm almost 10 years your senior. He opened his mouth and looked at me. I said, are you telling me? I said, yeah. I'm almost 10 years your senior. I am 62, you're 54. He said, I'm sorry, sir. Why did he think he was older than me? Because if you put two of us side by side, he looks older than me. God has been good to me. He renews my youth like the eagles. Come on, are you with me? And that is the same thing that God is doing for you. God keeps renewing your youth like the eagles. Don't take that for granted. Don't give the credit to your makeover artist. It is God that is helping you to stay young. Can somebody say hallelujah? Thank you, choir, finally. We need to thank Him not only for what He has done, but we need to thank Him for what He will do. One of the greatest expressions of faith is to thank God in advance. It is easy to thank God for what He has done. It is common to thank God for what He has done. But it is a sign of spiritual understanding. And it is an expression of faith to thank God for what you have not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of what you have not seen. So you begin to thank God and somebody asks you, where is it? And you say, it's coming. Oh, I can't forget. My wife wrote a song of praise unto God when we're still expecting the fruit of the womb. As a matter of fact, she actually did not see her period for a while. And we thought that, oh, she was pregnant. And then suddenly, it was a miscarriage. And then she said to me, I don't think I should release this song. If I release the song, the lyrics will be like I have had the baby. So I said to her, that is even the more reason you should release the song. Because when you release the song, you're praising God in advance. I said to her, when you release the song, God is now owing you. Are you with me? God is doing what? You are paid in advance, so God will deliver the good. Whenever you praise God, you're paying in advance. And so it is incumbent on God, who never fails, to deliver the good. Is somebody with me? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat appointed a choir. Not to sing because they had the victory, but to sing because the enemies were coming after him. So he sang with the choir, for the Lord is good, for his mercies endure forever. And the Bible says, as they began to sing, God caused an ambush between the two of them, between the camps, and they began to kill themselves. That is what God will also do for you. So praise will cause everything that is against you to destroy themselves. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says the people destroy themselves and the armies of Judah simply walked in to take the spoils. So don't praise God only for what he has done. Learn to praise God for what he will do. I can't forget, one day a man came into church crippled in a fellowship. And the guest minister simply called the choir, called the band, and we started singing. The man was on the altar. We were singing and praising, and he stood up to walk. Nobody laid hands on him. Praise was able to do the job. Beloved, I want you to be conscious. When they're thanking God, when you're dancing, when you're celebrating, it's not for nothing. God is in the atmosphere. God is in the room. God delights in the praise of his people. Whenever you praise God, whenever you thank him, whenever you celebrate him, you engage him to take over and do what you cannot do. Can somebody say hallelujah? Finally, Psalm 105 verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Beloved, I am reading this to say to you, thanksgiving, praise, and celebration should not be a private affair. Not make known his deeds in your bedroom. Not make known his deeds maybe in front of the mirror only. But make known his deeds among the people. Please, today, if you're thankful, you're grateful, give your name to the ushers. We'll call you to declare the goodness of God in the congregation of God's people. That is how God wants you to thank him. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it in your heart. Reminds me the story that I have told several times, even in this church, about Popular. I became part of the choir, Methodist Church choir, very early. I actually started singing in the choir, I think, at the age of 2. So I was going with my auntie, and eventually I graduated to the choir. I sang till I entered university. I used to still go from school to sing. So one day in the choir, we decided that nobody should go to give offering without dancing. Everybody must dance. It was a rule by the choir. But that day, as we're filing past the offering tray, we found that there was one guy whose hands were behind his back as he was walking past the offering tray. After service, you can imagine, we had a meeting immediately. And everybody raved. Why didn't you dance? You broke the choir rule. You must give a fine. And the young man simply smiled and said to us, but I was dancing. Everybody say, you liar. You're even lying in the house of God. Eh? You should be punished. You must pay fine. He shook his head and said, I was dancing. But I was dancing in my heart. So everybody said to Popular, don't dance in your heart. We didn't say that we must dance in our hearts. In case you are among that type, you're like Popular. You're happy, you're thankful, but it is in your heart. Let it not be in your heart today. We want to know what you're thankful for. We want to join God to celebrate the goodness of God with you. Just like the devil will push you to complain if things were not working well. When God has blessed you, let your neighbor know it. Let the people know it. Let your friends know it. And let the church know it. And Jesus will take the glory. Please stand on your feet and let's pray.
For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans chapter 10 verse 13 to 14. Someone around you needs Jesus. Be the preacher the world is waiting for. Share the gospel with everyone you meet and bring them to church this week. Enforce dominion everywhere. Shoreward, raising champions.